Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome to an hour of mind power. And believe me, that's what we're going to be talking about today. Not just mind power, however, but heart power, soul power, personal power. There's just so many different levels of the human expression. And my guest today, Sue Patton Fiole, is going to be able to address that through her book, The Woman's Book of Spirit. This is all about meditations to awaken the inner wisdom. Welcome to the show, Sue.
Thank you, Donna.
It is a delight to be able to share this book with my listeners. You have been a writer for quite a while. You're coming out now with what, book number 6?
11.
Oh, whoops, did I goof? Okay. I'm sorry, folks. She's not on 6. She's on 11 books. Oh, my goodness. This is wonderful. And when was The Woman's Book of Spirit done? Because this was brought to my attention about 4 or 5 months ago.
Right. Oh, it actually published first in 1997.
In 1997.
Mm-hmm. So
tell
it's 11 years old.
Tell me something as a writer, because we have so many listeners that would just dream about being able to write their book. What was it that made you decide that you were going to enter into this unique world of written experience, and how has it changed your life?
Oh, boy. Well, I didn't decide. I just was my soul or my spirit or the muse, whatever word you'd like to put to it, just grabbed me. I was reading a self-help book, which shall go unnamed, and I was on a retreat, and I remember tossing it against the fireplace. It was these big river rocks, and saying, if I ever write a book, I'm going to make sure it has some practical stuff in it that I can actually do. And it seemed like that spoken sentence, Donna, was the thing that my soul had been wanting to hear. And I got grabbed by an idea. I was a therapist practicing at the time, and my partner and I were doing a group for women about having the courage to be yourself. And that turned out to be my first book, The Courage to Be Yourself. And it was directed toward women. And it, of course, came from my own need to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I'd say my life has totally changed. That was a long time ago. And it was... 23 years ago, and that one first came out, and my life is different. It's richer. I have had experiences that I would never have thought that a little girl growing up in Missouri would ever have.
Mm-hmm.
And I also have looked inside more deeply than I ever would, because you know, you're an author, you're a teacher, you know that we teach and write about things that we need to learn.
Absolutely, but more than anything else, I think many times, and this is what you've done with this book, A Woman's Book of Spirit, you have gone into those, I'll call them small places, that we often have within ourselves that we're afraid to acknowledge, or we feel that we might be weak if we do, and this is male-female, even though this book is written with a woman's perspective in mind, I really think men would enjoy this too, because I find the wisdom, no matter what costume it is cloaked in or garmented in, is one that's going to touch the heart, mind, and spirit of anybody who is receptive and ready to hear it. So I feel that your book addresses a lot of things just about the human experience, the human spirit, and it's done in a very rhythmic way, but also in a condensed way that's
mm-hmm.
not overpowering. It's just like, here, take this little bit of a drop, and if this feels comfortable, then just work with it, let it do its stuff, and then move on to someplace else. And what's nice about your book is if you can go through it, you can pull different things out, which I'm going to pull the first one out. This is on page 64 in your book, and it's titled Siphoning Off Dress. You know,
yes,
that is an issue that has so many different angles to it, because
mm-hmm.
stress is not all bad. I mean, we'll hear all kinds of garbage about it, but the truth is you can't go through life without having some.
Well, and you'd just fall in a puddle if you didn't have some. I mean,
life would be terribly boring at times. If
mm-hmm.
It's part of that. It's that almost, it almost goes right with adrenaline. It's like they're good buddies and they've both got their shields up and they're saying the swords are drawn and yahoo, let's go for it. But you have the other side, and that's the side which can be very debilitating, where you can't breathe. This was a wonderful, wonderful way of touching on that aspect. You call it siphoning off stress.
Right, and the caveat to that, of course, is that there are constructive and destructive
mm-hmm.
ways to do it, and we've all done destructive ways. I mean, we've all said something we wish we hadn't, or we've all run ourselves into the ground by being over busy and trying to run away, or trying to do too much. But there's constructive ways too, and there's a physicality to stress. We may think that we just want to lie on the couch and watch some sort of mindless television thing, and that may be perfect.
Mm-hmm.
But there also may be ways that we need to release the physical aspects that stress creates. And you mentioned the adrenaline. Well, adrenaline leaves physical remnants in the body. In fact, have you ever been in or come upon an accident a couple of minutes after it's happened
mm-hmm.
and watched the people shaking violently?
Mm-hmm.
That's the body, as you know, letting go of the adrenaline, the excess adrenaline. Well, it may be that if we're really super angry at somebody, that we need to do something that might look violent, like banging on a bed with a tennis racket. Or I know that during my divorce, which was a way long time ago, but I still remember it. My kids were young, and we had a body bag out in the backyard, hung in the backyard from a tree, one of those big boxing bags.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I think, really did a lot to alleviate a lot of pressure and to facilitate my healing.
Mm-hmm. I bet. I've got to share a quick story with you because
okay.
it's really fun just in addressing stress and what you've brought up. I have a friend that she had a huge box in her garage, and she'd go out and she would buy up gobs and gobs of plates, you know, like maybe they're a pig.
I do know exactly what you mean, yes.
And she had a ladder and this box that were positioned side by side. It was a 6-foot ladder. And one day her daughter came home and she brought a friend. And the friend was saying, there's some really weird noises coming from your garage. And she just looked there and said, oh, don't worry about it. That's my mom. She's out there breaking dishes. And my friend would get up on the top of the ladder. She'd carry as many dishes, cups, whatever she could in her arms, up there. And then she'd just pitch those suckers, and man, all this
mm-hmm.
stuff. And then she'd walk in the house, and her friend, her daughter's friend, looked at her like, do I really want to know these people?
That's probably a good lesson for her.
She said, I understand. And she said, yep, I was mad.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not mad anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So
well,
everybody does it, but this was just a hoot when I heard about it.
Oh, I love it. I took a member of my family, a woman who just is the sweetest, nicest, wonderful, most wonderful person, out to the woods behind our house with a flap of eggs, uncooked, and told her to, and a scripty pen, and told her to write some things she was upset about on the eggs and then toss them at the trees. Well, it was funny because her aim wasn't very good at first, and she would run over and pick those eggs up and come back. And it was, and what happened, Donna, is that after throwing the flat of eggs, she sat down on a log and she started to cry and she started to talk, and we talked at a deeper level than she said she'd ever been able to before.
Mm-hmm.
So there was an opening. There was an exhalation of energy that was keeping her holding everything in. So, yeah.
It's amazing what we can do. And we have to give ourselves permission to do that. And you address that in a little segment you call Cradling a Wounded Heart.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll just use the last sentence in that little chapter that you have. If your heart is wounded, console and comfort it, and don't hesitate to reach out to others for help in doing so.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's that little bit. Your book could be opened at random. If someone just mm-hmm. wanted to use it on a daily basis or just have some inspiration, that's what they can do, because they're none of these segments that you have in your book are that long. But you have put them together in such a way that it addresses personal issues. Let's talk about de-idealizing expectations, and that's on page 10. You said in this commentary, in this particular section, that a woman had told you nowhere in your book did she find any shred of judgment. And I love the following sentence. It was, luckily my books are edited. I thought, that is such honesty. I love that. You could have had all kinds of expletives, but your editor didn't put it in there. And I thought, that is so good. That's such a good visual. Talk to us for a moment about judgment.
Well, judgment is just like sticking your foot in a bear trap. I mean, you just, there's nowhere to go after you've judged yourself. And it evokes guilt. It evokes so many things. It does not encourage us. And as we know, many of us were raised with experiencing judgment and realizing that, and being tried to, some people try to inspire us by judging us. That's not good enough. You could do it this way and then this way and this way. You know, Donna, that doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
It really does cripple our souls more than anything. And so many of our judgments are, well, they're out of the realm of possibility, and they hang around in the perfectionist zone. So what I'm talking about is in de-idealizing is, first of all, just ban judgment. And that's not discernment. I don't mean discernment. I mean the kind of judgment that wears a big long cape and has a gavel in their hand that goes bonk right on top of your head. We do it more than to anybody. We do it to ourselves. But it spills over. And so if we're judgmental to ourselves, and my dear, sweet, wonderful mother to whom this book is dedicated said in her last days, the thing that I did more than anything that I wish I hadn't was be judgmental.
Mm-hmm.
And of course she was being judgmental of herself then too. But it's a trap. It really is. I'm not saying that we should deny what we do, but judgment carries with it some sort of need to penalize. And we don't need to penalize, we need to encourage.
I really like that discriminating statement where you say discerning something is different from being judgmental. And I think everybody does it. There isn't any of us. I mean, I've done it. But if you can consciously be present with yourself and pull back and say, wait a minute, this is A, this is B, and this is C. If this is a particular person's behavior, and I'm not comfortable with it, I don't have to put myself in that environment again.
Right.
If I find that this is happening again, then I'm going to have to address it. And it's so easy. That's where gossip comes in. That's where all kinds of stuff comes in. And I was in a meeting just a short time ago where someone was trying to give a new entrepreneur all the inside track and being very authoritarian, and I wanted to hit this person over the head with a baseball bat. Because this young woman that is trying to do something, this is a new journey for her, and it's
mm-hmm.
very overwhelming for her. And she really isn't interested in being a multi-gazillionaire. She is interested in doing something that her heart is associated with at this
mm-hmm.
time. And whether she makes $50 or she makes a gazillion, it doesn't make any difference.
Mm-hmm.
This is her journey.
Well, and I think what you're
it.
Talking about is she's a new person on this journey.
Yes.
She she has not yet matured into it. So there's a certain degree of idealism or, what is it, naivete,
yeah.
I think, that we need. When, if I had known what I know now about writing, I never would have started. But
boy, is that the truth on so many levels. Oh, my goodness.
I mean, isn't it?
So, yes.
So we were laughing the other day about taking our newly printed books that the covers were smeared on because the ink was so wet, and going down to the big BEA, wasn't called that then, but the big booksellers convention, and just walking into these two enormous warehouses going, just our naivete just going, oh, my golly, and then just spreading them out. And 6 months it took, but something came of that. But so the person who was judging her or trying to let her know, it sounds like your friend, hadn't yet matured into knowing that everybody has to take their own steps and that encouragement is better than reality, quote unquote.
Well, there is a time and a place for it, I think.
Yeah.
And it's not that this person isn't willing to learn. They are.
Mm-hmm.
But they were so overwhelmed with what they had just gone through that they just went, oh, and I thought, where is that sponge baseball bat so I can go whack, whack, whack? But, you know, I'm being judgmental. No, not me. Never, never, never.
Well, of course not. But, you know, the thing about people who write and people who teach and almost anybody in the world, our job, I think, is to share, you know, our own stumbling blocks, the own ways that we move forward a step or two and then slide backwards, and what it takes for us to move out of that hole.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it's just, that's part of sharing instead of clobbering.
Well, okay, I won't go after the sponge baseball.
Oh, no, I mean, there are times maybe when people need to be clobbered, but maybe not.
Oh, well, it's having a good sense of humor, too, because
absolutely.
Life is just so full of opportunity and experience. If you can't laugh, you're not going to have anything worthwhile in life, because that is part of the joy of it. Learning from the Stones is a little segment you have in your book, Grandmother Rock, and that's on page 28 and 29. I looked at this, and I thought, what a wonderful, wonderful story to share with people, because it's very meaningful. Talk to us about Grandmother Rock.
Well, she lives in the Arches National Park, and she was awesome. It was like you could take every trouble you ever had and sit under her, and she would help you figure out a way to make it because of her own example. And, you know, these rocks in Arches National Park, of course, just started out as just solid mountains.
Mm-hmm.
And the wind and the rain and the boulders hurtling around and who knows what else, earthquakes, whatever, dinosaurs, somehow carved into these rocks the formations that they're in now that are just, they'll take your breath away. And the colors. And this rock was this incredibly huge window, and she framed another mountain that was equally beautiful, and it was kind of like peeking into what it takes for the soul to evolve, and that we have a choice about whether or not our troubles and our difficulties and our challenges will make us fall into a little pile of rocks that make no sense, or whether we can become a window for ourselves and other people. And for me, that's what she was. She was a window.
Yes, and it's just a beautiful, beautiful description. Softening in the face of hardness.
Hmm.
Boy, that's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
That is a very, very special story. Tell us about Camilla. It's on 50. Camilla is a woman that walked a particular journey.
On 15, you said?
50.
Oh, 50. Okay, I have to get back to Camilla.
Yes. He said that she had to really work at becoming non-defensive.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to use an example of my own instead of this one, okay?
Okay.
There's a way in which when we're faced with judgment or criticism or so forth, that we spike out. You know, our porcupine quills go out.
Mm-hmm.
And what that does is that elicits other porcupine quills, maybe even laced with a little bit of poison. And this was the way that Camilla and her husband had reacted to each other. And when we were working together, I asked her if she was willing to just, you know, leave that prickliness and so forth in my office. She could pick it up anytime she wanted to. But what I'd like her to do is soften and see this person in terms of being like a two-year-old, instead of being an awful man who was icky and horrible and trying to ruin her life. And she did. And it was amazing because it didn't work just immediately. But after a couple of times of softening in the face of his hardness, he was able to tell her what was at the bottom of what was bothering him, which allowed her to see the vulnerability rather than the autocraticness.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that softening in the face of hardness is incredibly strong. There's a term called soft power, which I really love.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if we can soften and not rise to the bait, then that allows people who are coming at us in a hard way to sort of stew in their own juice, so to speak, because you don't give them any fodder for continuing to do what they do.
Well, don't you think, too, it's very much like what they teach in the martial arts, where they tell you use the other person's energy against them rather than letting them use it against you?
Yes, you flow with it, like Aikido.
Mm-hmm.
You move.
You flow with the energy, and you let their energy sort of flow back into their own space so that it catches them off guard, and it works.
Yes, it does.
It really works.
It does. And the other thing is you don't add to the fire. You're not throwing gasoline at already flaming things. You are moving out of the heat. I mean, we don't want you to be burned. Now, okay, I'll tell you another example.
Okay.
He's given me permission to do this. This is my husband and myself, a story from us. When he gets upset, he doesn't do it now, but he's much mellower. But he used to really need somebody who was wrong, and that wasn't him. It was me. And
of course,
so,
you were his wife. That's the way it
I know.
Yes.
And so what I needed to say is, and I, good Lord, this took like years, but decades even, but I finally got to a place where I could say, I love you. I don't expect either one of us to be perfect. I am not willing to be in relationship to you right now in this kind of energy. And then move off. Now, what that required of me is I was a kind of a captive of my own fear of rejection. So what that required of me was a becoming used to separation, or what felt like separation, and allowing that. And I know that one of the first times that I tried it, it was because things had come to a pretty good head, and it took 3 weeks before he was actually able to say, I think I know what my part of this was. And that changed our relationship.
Isn't it amazing how little things like that can shift? And that's what I think your book does, too. It gives these little nuggets, not gigantic ones, but like little tiny mind nuggets.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Little mind nuggets that allow you to ruminate, toss them around, You can pretend you're a BB in an empty box. I mean, whatever you want to do with it. But it is an opportunity for thinking. And often we don't give ourselves the opportunity to think. And I think that's what you did with your husband, was that you said, I'm letting you know how I feel, and I'm giving you the space to make a choice.
And I'm also making it very clear that what has been is unacceptable.
Right. And so then he had to really think about that, because that wasn't, you know, if you had come at him like a screaming banshee or had your sponge baseball bat in the hand.
Mm-hmm. Oh, believe me, I tried all those things.
Aha, there we go. We get to the depth of it. Okay. But seriously, it's really, it's so important to be able to share these things with people, because it is this story. It is that personal experience that allows someone to see a different perspective, and I think that's what's so charming about your book. Now, there's one part I wanted to address. I know we're getting close on our time. Freeing the inner elders, and that's on page 186.
Uh-huh.
I really like that, because I think within every human being, there is this wisdom.
Absolutely.
That is just waiting to birth, and it would be so nice if you could say, here, take a packet of this, add water, mix, you got it. So it doesn't work that way.
Uh-huh.
And it is for all intents and purposes an evolution within the human being, within the woman, within the man. But address this, because I think it's just beautifully done.
Well, I think you made a wonderful point. Everyone, I don't care what age they are, has inner elders. Even my grandkids, my beautiful little 11-year-old, not little so much anymore, grandson, has an incredible ability to have wisdom come forth from his beautiful brown eyes and his sweet face. And so does the 5-year-old. I mean, you know, they do. One of the things I think we do is we need to be encouraged to actually believe that we have that also. Sometimes it's a lot easier for us to see the wisdom others carry. And that's one reason, Donna, why it's so important to invite our wisdom to come forth, honor it when it does, and to get a little quieter so that we can intuit and we can hear that proverbial still small voice, because it's very polite. Our still small voice doesn't take us by the scruff of the neck and say, listen up.
Mm-hmm.
It says, Sue, Donna, I'm here and I've got something to say.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm careening around, you know, trying to meet a deadline or fussing around about somebody I think said something, I'm not going to hear that unless I quiet down and ask to be taught by those inner voices.
Sue Patton Fioli is my guest today, the Woman's Book of Spirit, which I would recommend to anyone. She said it's the Woman's Book of Spirit, but I would retitle it. I'm going to be presumptuous here. I'd say it's the Human Book of Spirit, because it really speaks to that, whether you're male or female, it doesn't make any difference. And Sue, do you have a website?
I do. I was just going to ask you that. Aren't you wonderful? It's my name, and it's SuePattonT, as in Tom, Hoele. .com, and you'll see the rest of the books that are still in print, and a picture of me under the sea.
And by the way, I neglected to mention that Sue is a licensed psychotherapist. She's obviously been very much involved with life coaching and helping people get through their various issues, and she's quite unique in the way that she thinks and the way she approaches things. Even with all of those letters behind her name, she's, as you could tell just by our conversation today, a very reachable person and a person that loves to share what she knows. So the Woman's Book of Spirit, Meditations to Awaken Your Inner Wisdom. Also, she's the author of The Courage to Be Yourself. So go to her website, Sue Patton Fioli, and that's SuePattonThole.com. Sue, it has been an absolute delight Have a wonderful day, and thank you for being my guest today.
I've loved it. Thank you for having me.
It's been a pleasure. This is Donna Sebo. Hey, we're going to go on a break, but when we come back, more good things happening, so you're not going to want to miss any of it. We'll be right back.
Hello, this is Dr. Richard Petty, the author of Healing, Meaning, and Purpose, and creator of the RichardGPettyND.com website. I am thrilled and delighted to tell you that starting February 7th, 2008, at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern, I'm going to be joining my friend Donna Sebo on her show on bbsradio.com. We're going to do this every month, and I can guarantee you that we're going to be sharing new information and new concepts that will astonish and inspire you.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to TTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, TTAP.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's TTAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717. TTAP.com.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. By the way, telephone lines are open. Big surprise. This is usually what happens every day. Hello, give me a call if you would like to chat with me and let me light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. Here are the telephone numbers you can call in to, 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. Also, Canadians, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. We also have another direct line of 530-876-3222, 530-876-3222. Now, remember, when you call in, all I'm going to need from you is your first name or your initial. And I know I've had people ask me, how is it you can do this, Donna? You had a caller from Paris the other day. How can you do this? How is it that you don't know anything about anybody and you just get all of this information? Are you just guessing? The answer is no. What has happened through the years, and I started this when I was in my 20s, and I basically had to teach myself the language of my mind, and then what evolved is that I found the way the information would come to me. It's sometimes in pictures, sometimes it's feeling, sometimes I'm just given words. It's very, very intricate. And so I have had to learn how to interpret it, express it, and share it with people. I got a beautiful letter from a lady the other day. She took the time to sit down and write to me because we had done a private consultation, which I do frequently, and she said, Donna, I wanted to put this in writing to you. I'm sure not too many people do this, but you gave me information, and there were specific details that came through that were very, very clear. And she said, you interpreted them. It was at a cemetery, and it was flowers, and there was all of this description that went into it. And she said, actually, what happened, it was within 2 days after I had spoken with her that a very dear relative, she found out that relative had died, and she ended up going to a funeral. And it was in a place in the country where the weather was very dark, very, very dreary, and she had brought this huge bouquet of brilliantly colored flowers. She said, I had listened to the tape, and everything just popped back into my head. I went back and re-listened to it, and she said, what you were describing was the event that took place a couple of days later. And then the additional information that had been given. And it's really fascinating. You see, we don't always know about the workings of life. There are so many gazillions of events, actions, things going on simultaneously. And so frequently we think there is a disharmony. We are not able to see all of these perspectives and variables that are evolving because of a person's actions, their plans, their agendas, whatever term you want to use to describe it. And this is going on so many different dimensional levels. And the mind does not know time or space. Now, I know science likes to look at it and likes to be able to compartmentalize it and put it in a little box and say, this is A, this is B, and this is C. Well, excuse me, in my years of working in the area of mind, I've seen such a diversity, and every single student I have had has taught me you cannot limit it. And I use the word cannot because it is infinite. And if something is infinite, how in the blue blazes are you going to be able to limit it? You can't. It just isn't going to happen. So when I get this information, it is a process of discipline that I've acquired over the years. Nothing fancy, no games, no gimmicks. And I'm delighted to be able to share it with you on the air. So give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 877-876-5227. Canadians 888-815-9756. Also 530-876-3222. Now, a moment ago, I said I mentioned students. By the way, if you want to come to a class of mine, and I don't often have a chance to do classes. Now, if you're in Western Washington, this is a wonderful opportunity. It is going to be a four-hour activity. It'll start this Saturday, April the 19th, at 10 a.m. It's going to go until 2 p.m. It's going to be held at the Center for Spiritual Living. The topic is mental ecology. I'm going to help you jumpstart your personal vision, talk about intuitive skills, how you can do problem solving more effectively, and then we're going to clarify your perspective, your objectives, and what you feel might be your life purpose at this moment. Now, this is being held at, again, the Center for Spiritual Living, 206 North J Street in Tacoma. It's right on the corner of J Street and Division across from Group Health. Now, it's $89 per person, and that includes lunch. And if you'd like to make a reservation, call 253-383-3151. Now, by the way, the building that we're holding this event in is a historical building. It is 100 years old today. So part of the funds from this class will be going towards the restoration of this historic building. So again, call for reservations, 253-383-3151. And the only reason we ask you to call is so that we'll know how much food to have prepared. That's the only reason. Otherwise, just come on by. So again, mental ecology, my workshop, day after tomorrow, April the 19th, Saturday, from 10 a.m. until 2. Come on out. I'd love to see you there. It's going to be a lot of fun. Okay, what if you want to lower your monthly bills? Yes. Ooh, isn't that a good idea? It's always nice to have more money in your pocket. I find that the rules of yesteryear are pretty much applicable today, and that is if you want money, you're going to have to save money. You're going to have to look at money as something that you work with, and it's so important to do that. Phone bills, you can save on long-distance calls to those people who are especially very significant to you. Here's a website you can go to, saveonphone.com, saveonphone.com. And you can select your state, and you'll be linked instantly to the lowest long-distance rate, some under 3 cents a minute. So that's something you might want to consider. Also, customize your cell plan. Now, you can go to this website, letstalk.com, and choose a monthly price limit or amount of minutes, and the site will sort through the plans that meet your needs. Boy, is that helpful. Have you ever tried to review all of these plans that these different companies offer? Jeez. It's just amazing. So here you've got a website you can go to and find out something a lot more quickly. So that's letstalk.com. And they'll also show you the best deals that are going out. If you already have a plan, you can swap your way out of an expensive contract without paying hefty termination fees. I was just talking to a girlfriend this afternoon who has a cell phone service she does not like, but she's got another year on her contract. And she said, I need to buy a new phone because this one isn't working. I'm having all types kinds of problems with the company. Well, here's something that you can use. You can go to Cell Trade USA, CellTradeUSA.com. Also, TradeMyCellular.com, TradeMyCellular.com, or CellSwapper.com. CellSwapper.com, CellSwapper.com. So those are three different sites you can use. If you want savings on your credit card debt, boy, that is a big one. I can remember having gone through humongous credit card situations. I'll never forget a friend of mine that had $80,000 on her credit card. That may make your hair turn gray. It certainly would have mine. Well, she got them all paid off. But you can go to creditcards.com to switch from a standard credit card rate of 18% or more to 8.99% or less in seconds. If you have a high balance on your card, you can save yourself hundreds of dollars in interest payments by switching to one with a lower rate. Also, pay attention to credit unions. Often credit unions will offer you credit cards at a much lower rate. In fact, there's so much competition among the banks and credit unions at this time, you may be able to get something that's as low as 5 or 6%. So just keep your eyes open and check things out. It's worth doing. And some of them even offer mileage credits so that you can, if you use your credit card, like a number of people I know, they'll use a credit card for just about everything, and then they pay off the balance at the end of the month. So they're not carrying anything forward, and it really puts them way ahead. And they're getting those flight miles, and every year they go on a vacation, and they literally save themselves with their family about $2,000 a year in plane fare. So that's something to consider. Drive home savings on car insurance. You can enter your zip code, answer a few questions at insweb.com. That's I-N-S like Sam, web.com. And you will find that auto insurance companies will compete for your business with rock-bottom quotes. Now, that's fine, but be sure if you're looking at different companies, find out about their track record. I can remember an experience I had. It was many years ago, but once you have an accident with some of these companies, then you're bounced out. So you want to be sure that you are going to be with a company and question the representatives of that company to be sure that they are going to be one that's reputable. And if you have an accident, whether it's your own or somebody hits you, you want to be sure that they're not going to drop you as an insurance policy holder. Also, reducing your mortgage payment. Interest rates seem to be on the low side, and it looks like they're going to stay that way for a while. Refinancing could slash hundreds off of house payments. Now, you can go to lowermybills.com or lendingtree.com, and they will let you know who might be available to assist you in finding a better rate for yourself. All kinds of real interesting things, but this last one that I got information on amazed me. You can go to groceryguide.com. Groceryguide.com. It will clue you in on the best supermarket sales in your area of the country. It will even make you a personalized savings shopping list that you can print out or have sent to your cell phone. Can you believe that? That's incredible. Amazing. I'm just always fascinated by people coming up with ideas to make things a little bit better, a little bit more quick in application. But again, always check things out. Don't just take this for granted. Just go ahead, explore it, and find out if this is something that can help you. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 877-876-5227. Canadians, 888-815-9756. 530-876-3222. I want to let you know that tomorrow we're going to be having Dr. Petty on Healing, Meaning, and Purpose. This is a physician that has traveled around the world, is known in scientific circles, talks with the leaders in medical understanding, in scientific understanding, brings it down into easy language for all of us. I was watching a program last night on cancer, and I was appalled to find out that some of the chemicals that they use on people are mustard gas, you know, one of them. It's equivalent of mustard gas. And it just blew me away. This was a program that was just very informative. And I thought, there's so much we don't know. There is so much that we're doing like we were doing 40, 50 years ago. Not a whole bunch has changed. So when you can become aware of better things to do for yourself physically, to be aware of mentally, spiritually, physically, and emotionally, it's a good thing. So Dr. Petty is going to be with me tomorrow, and we're going to be talking about a number of different things. And then the following week, we're going to be talking with Teresa Tapp, one of my favorite people. Boy, her exercise program really, really works. But we're going to make you even look better for this upcoming summer. Don't go away. We're going to be back in just a moment. Donna Siebel here. Give me a buzz if you want to chat.
Hello, this is Dr. Richard Petty, the author of Healing, Meaning, and Purpose, and creator of the RichardGPettyMD.com website. I am thrilled and delighted to tell you that starting February 7th, 2008, at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern, I'm going to be joining my friend Donna Siebel on her show on bbsradio.com. We're going to do this every month, and I can guarantee you that we're going to be sharing new information and new concepts that will astonish and inspire you.
Enter the magical world of God's kiss.
Johnny finds himself at the entrance to a large open valley, framed by high mountains rich in the brown-red colors of the earth. He stands in awe, even a little fearful of the mountain's great size. After all, he's just a little boy and not very tall.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Siebel accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling, and the author Donna Siebel will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Siebel's website, www.delphiinternational.com. That 800 number again, 872-88.
Donna Siebel publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at Donna@DelphiInternational.com. That's Donna@DelphiInternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.DelphiInternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is Donna@DelphiInternational.com, and her website is www.DelphiInternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna. By the way, I want to let you know that next week we're also not just to have Teresa. We're talking about physical fitness here. Well, we're going to be addressing that. But next Tuesday, we're going to be talking about facelifts. Mm-hmm. Not only is your body going to get looking really, really good, but those few wrinkles, hey, guys, they matter to you too. Guys, gals, so we're going to be talking about the yogic facelift. No surgery. Good stuff. Then Marianne Radmacher, we're going to be talking about how to lean forward into your life. And then we're going to have an open mic day on the 24th, and we're then going to jump into the brand new radicals. Ah, yes, that's what we're going to be talking about, those rebels with a cause. So you're not going to want to miss any of it. It's going to be a great time, a great day. Now, if you want to give me a buzz and chat today, 877-876-5227, Canadians, 888-815-9756, or a direct line of 530-876-3222. One person makes a difference. One person seeking something that is going to be significant to them invariably uncovers the unexpected and the unknown, to find frequently satisfaction that they had never, ever thought they'd find. That happened with Diane Granito. Diane had a love of kids. Her life was very rich, very full. She had worked in marketing, then as a paralegal. Paid well. Everything was just great. But she didn't come home feeling like she was satisfied with what she was involved with. There was nothing wrong with the work. There was nothing wrong with the people that were around her. She just didn't have the satisfaction. Well, she decided that she was going to look for something different. But she didn't have a clue. So she's going through one ad. And she saw an opening for an adoptive family recruiter. She didn't know anything about it. She said, oh, what the heck, why not? It's different. But there was something that was at the base of this, too, because Diane knew better than most individuals what adoption can do. Her own dad had been left on a doorstep and raised by someone that had been in the community. And love, not biology, she said, had made them a family. If it hadn't been for adoption, he wouldn't have anybody that would have been there for him. He would have not had the family. Well, her dad's story meant a lot to her, and she carried it around in her heart for all of her life. Well, the state's Children, Youth, and Families Department, after they interviewed her, hired her. They just knew they had this very special woman. So here she is in her new job. What is she supposed to do? Well, she's supposed to let people know that foster kids need families. And she said, what is the best way to reach people? Pictures, right? Pictures are worth 1,000 words. However, the pictures they had for the kids were terrible. She said they were too small, they were out of focus, they'd been snapped at the wrong time. And she thought to herself, this has got to change. This is not effective. So this is what this woman came up with. She said, we need real photographers to do real portraits. Of course, there was a problem with that. There was no budget. However, she had a whole different thought. She said if the photographers knew the good that they would be doing through this, they'd probably do it for free. So this is what this woman did. She called up 50 photographers. Every single one of them said we would be happy to take photos of these kids. 50 photographers. Not one of them said no. The resulting pictures just took her breath away. She said the kids were smiling, they were laughing, they were being silly, some of them looked dreamy, but more than anything else, the photographers had captured the essence of the child. Then she got an idea. She's going to put these photographs on display. When people see these photographs, she thought, they're not going to be able to turn away from these kids. So there was a local gallery that she went to and talked to the owner. And they said, we would be delighted to be able to help you put on an exhibition like this. So this was done, and it was called, her particular exhibit was called the Heart Gallery. So there was some promotion done regarding it. After all, her background did include marketing. 1,200 people filed past the framed prints of 62 children. Let me tell you what happened the next day. When she got to work, she found 600 messages from folks wanting to adopt or help out the kids. The word started to spread. She got contacted by people from Arizona and California that said, we want you to come. She's in New Mexico. They wanted her to come to Arizona and California. The Heart Gallery has expanded to 40 states. They've created their own exhibits, and more than 1,000 children have new homes. Those children never thought they'd ever have a family. Diane said, my dream is that someday we won't need a heart gallery because every family will have a loving family. That's what all kids need and deserve. Now, you can go to their website, HeartGalleryOfAmerica.org. HeartGalleryOfAmerica.org. One person with a concept and idea, reaching out, asking other people, how can this make a difference? Would you be willing to help? Can we do? What if? Let's try. What do you think? All of these different thoughts go through. Over 1,000 children have families, all because Diane Granito had an idea and put it to work, and then others have carried it forward. Isn't it a wonderful story? I just think it's great. Well, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, know that you make a difference. And if you have a concept or an idea that can make a change in life that's going to make this world a better place, go for it. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to talk to people about it. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul, not somebody else. You are. Go for the gold. It's worth it. And just think, people are going to just want to share that with you. They're going to love it. Because you do it, you make their self shine, they'll want a piece of that too, a piece of that light. This is Donna Sebo. Talk with you manana. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.